Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing? I don't know. Dr. Craig, there you are. Good morning.
Sorry, I didn't unmute. I apologize for messing you up.
Well, you didn't mess me up. You know, always having you on is a great thing. I hear a lot of great things from people about our segment. How are you doing this week?
I'm good. Just busy as heck, hence the not even noticing my mute button. So, but other than that, but you know, That's the way it goes in social justice world.
Well, so let's talk about some of the things you've been, you know, kind of active with here lately.
Well, one thing, I'll just throw up something top of mind. You know, there have been a lot of problems with the big utilities that provide, have regulated monopolies for power and light and heat and cooling. And the biggest one in the state, We Energies, is seeking another rate increase, yet another. They 13.8% last year, because they want to be paid back for having to do more tree trimming because of more storms. Now, of course, there are more storms because of global warming, right? And they're one of the worst utilities in the country at addressing global warming by moving to renewable energy. And in fact, they're moving to even more natural gas, more fossil fuels, as they. And so, you know, the city, I think, may intervene in that rate case with the Public Service Commission. But then on the good side, President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which I think your listeners know, is the biggest climate and jobs plan in world history, not just American, as far as the amount of money put in. It has these tremendous home energy rebates that will allow everyone, no matter their income, who is a homeowner, to do energy conservation, efficiency upgrades, move towards decarbonization, things like rooftop solar and heat pumps, and much more energy efficient appliances. And right now, the Public Service Commission, its Focus on Energy program, is taking comments. They have proposed, and there's been great community pressure on this, that it be implemented in Wisconsin in a way that it is cost-free. That is, no money up front. It's cost-free to everyone, but you have to put a little bit up front, even though the savings are greater than the cost, which is fine for middle-class homeowners. But for low-income homeowners, they can't afford. They have to just meet the basics, right, every month, right? Their utility bills, their food bills, healthcare bills. So for the lowest-income Wisconsinites, there'll be no money up front because the program will be structured that way. We are actually generating lots of public comments from our members and our allies to make sure that that version is the one that's adopted. It's the option A. So there are good things because of President Biden and state government going on, and there are bad things going on because of the continued, you know, misbehavior of big corporate monopolies. In the case I just talked about, the big utilities who we've given a monopoly to, and they're abusing it.
You know, Dr. Craig, let me ask you the impact of Janet Protasiewicz, Justice Janet Protasiewicz, on the Supreme Court, and the change this that are going to take place because of the maps, really are doing what the Republicans have been concerned and worried about all the previous time. And it means many of those seats that they had that were safe, they're now going to lose. And they've got to run against one another. And you can kind of see as they're scurrying to cover their backsides why it was so important that they had the maps jerry-rigged the way they were rigged in the first place, because they were comfortable and able to control and make the changes and do the things that they were able to do for all those years. They are now up against having to run against one another. Let's talk about how important that is, Dr. Craig, the future of government in the state.
So it's amazing how entitled the current right wing that dominates the GOP is. That's that they're entitled to dominate the legislature no matter what, in a 50-50 state, in a purple state, one of the most purple states in the country. And now they actually have to earn their election. They don't like that. They want to be given it. They also, you have individual incumbents that think they have a right to a seat, as opposed to it being about fairly representing voters. And so the way these maps were developed is, it's about what's in the interest of voters being fully represented, not in the career interests of these folks. And they, some of them will move. That's their right as well. But they don't have a right to rig the Democratic system to guarantee their election, to guarantee them as an individual will represent a seat. And that is a microcosm of the whole problem with the MAGA Republican Party, in that they want power at any cost. They're outraged that we have real judges now. They got very used to be able to rig the Supreme Court, so that would always side with them and would change the law accordingly to meet their interests. It did that to keep Scott Walker out of jail because he absolutely flagrantly violated campaign finance law in ways that I thought I would have been put in jail if I'd ever done. And then the Supreme Court changed the law, their Supreme Court, the rigged Supreme Court. Now we have judges that actually judge based on the Constitution and the law and precedent. Precedent's very important. And so they don't like that. They feel entitled to power.
You know, Dr. Craig, as we approach this 2024 presidential election, and as you and organizations like yours are in overdrive to organize and get people out to vote, do you see any increase in interest from people as you guys do your canvassing to get out and vote again? We're still looking at 50% of the population in this country that votes. Maybe in certain instances, maybe, you know, we can get up to 55. But do you see any increase in the interest of people who see this election, especially this one, any different than the others?
It's pretty early to tell still. I know it seems like the presidential election's been going on forever already. But the Biden campaign was right to say that the situation is going to start to change, and it has, now that it's clear who the candidates are. Because Trump being the GOP nominee was not clear to most people who are not, you know, shall we say, just watching massive amounts of cable news and right-wing talk radio. And so I think there's an uptick. It needs to continue. I think things like President Biden's announcement of the student debt cancellation for people who owe more now than when they started because of high interest rates and bad repayment plans, and people who've done public service, is great. And it needs to be explained over and over again that his plan is more limited because the right-wing packed U.S. Supreme Court with three Trump appointees throughout his original more sweeping plan and nullified clearly written law in federal statute that gave the president and the department and the Secretary of Education the power to do it. So I think can continue to move on Gaza will help. He is clearly at its wit's ends around Benjamin Netanyahu and their massive, you know, punishment of a whole population for what was a crime, a war crime by a terrorist group, Hamas. But it does not mean you can punish every Palestinian in Gaza. And that's what's being done. And so Biden needs to keep moving because he's splitting the Democratic base with his previous position. So I think there's hope. The question is, it's not just people voting, Earl. It's also people actually paying attention to their own interests, right? Paying attention to all of Trump's gesticulations this week and dances on abortion. He's not a very good dancer. He's a good bully, but he's not a very good dancer.
You know, Dr. Craig, when would you see, and what period of time should the interest be ramped up from your visibility that you'll be able to discern whether or not this is the election that is going to capture, you know, the minds of people more so than even, you know, that in 2016 with Obama, whenever that was, you know, it clearly is a decision that will be made between Donald Trump and Joe Biden that people will be talking about for decades to come based on who, you know, Donald Trump is and the impact that he'll have.
I think it's going to be a gradual process. We're just coming out of the spring election, so it's hard in Wisconsin. We were just trying to win school referendum, right. Great local candidates all over the state, and did have some notable wins. I think that we're just now, it's a gradual process, particularly because face-to-face conversations take longer than billionaire-funded TV campaigns. But they're also more impactful in terms of each person. But the research on voters and how they hold elected officials accountable for their performance is they look back to about, they only begin to look back as far as May when they're voting in November. So we are just getting to the point of consequences. In other words, this is going to sound strange, but everything President Biden has done up till now is going to be relatively discounted, and what's going to be weighed by voters is their experiences from about May until November. That's weird, but that is what the research shows.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, there's been a lot of conversation about forever chemicals. And the Biden administration just set the first ever limits on so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. Who would be opposed to that and why?
Big corporate actors that benefit from pollution, agribusiness, and people who have investments in it. So what you have to understand is Wall Street invests in all these companies. So the big banks and investment houses have a big say. In fact, they use our pension money. That's how pension money and other kinds of state money and local money gets invested, hence divestment campaigns. And so it's a cautionary note. We've known these are forever. We know they're killing people. And look how long it takes to get action. Unlike the right-wing myth that there's some overzealous regulatory state that is jumping in and getting people's business, they're under-resourced and they're hamstrung by corporate lobbyists and interference by corporate-funded elected officials. And so here we are. Cancer after cancer after cancer, people who have bad water. And now just getting any movement at all is very difficult. So this is an example of why we have an unresponsive government. This is one of the other threats to democracy. And it requires an aroused and mobilized citizenry that understands its interests, understands who is for forever chemicals being in your water for profit only, and who wants to do something about it. I mean, serious, not just say they want to do something about it, actually do it.
You know, Dr. Craig, most citizens don't know anything about forever chemicals. They don't know it's happening. And it is another one of those things that is more than frustrating, Dr. Craig, that that we don't seem to be able to get things that protect the American people done. I mean, it just is unbelievable that this can occur in broad daylight, Dr. Craig, and you know, hundreds of millions of people being impacted and affected by it. Unknowingly.
Part of the right-wing conspiracy was to replace traditional media. That's why entities like civic media are so important, with their own that would create false threats to replace the real ones. The real threats are PFAS, climate change, right?
Right.
Massive healthcare costs, hospital closures up in the Chippewa Valley because of the abuse of the big hospital monopolies and their profit-seeking behavior. And so right now, people are afraid of vaccines because of them. We have measles coming back, a deadly disease right. that we vanquish because in some counties in the country, 13% of parents are having their kids vaccinated. They're listening to that, and they're not thinking at all about the real threat to their kids, the PFAS in the water. Runaway climate change that will have devastating consequences across the board on every issue you can think of. And so we need to replace, they've done a very good job of replacing the real threats with the fake threats, because the real threats are profitable. It's profitable to make PFAS and not be regulated, and it is unprofitable not to, and then it's useful, therefore, to it's sort of like the rabbit in the hat, but it's about fear. You know, people think the rabbit is way across the other side of the room, and they're sitting right in front of them.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's a thing that people believe, that the voters believe, that once they elect a person, that said person is going to be looking out for them. And they don't know what kinds of deals are being brokered once they're in Madison, or once they're, you know, in the city of Milwaukee downtown, or once they're at the county, or once they're in you know, Washington, D.C. We don't know, what is going on in our names. And it's harder and harder, as you stated, for people to find those things out. And as you stated before, all the different media outlets that used to be there that have all been bought up are no longer there. And so less and less opportunity for people to find out the things that are impacting them the most.
Yeah, and I talked for our own podcast to Ann Nelson, who wrote a great book called Shadow Network a couple of years ago, journalist, and she teaches at Columbia right now. And she outlines the whole history of how legacy media went away and with corporate buyouts, and how it was replaced deliberately over a 40-year conspiracy by right-wing media and evangelical Christian media that is overtly political. And so if you, like, I've had the opportunity to lobby substantially in the state legislature over the years, and to some degree in Congress, especially earlier in my career. And what average person doesn't know is that if you're sitting in either Capitol, that the voice of the big interests is very loud. You hear the hospital association, you hear the big utilities, right? You hear pharma. Big pharmaceutical companies. You hear all Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, the big industry group in the state. You hear all of them. And the voice of the public is very faint, actually. And staff that are with you and members of the legislature will beg you, please mobilize people. We need to hear from average people or we will lose. And our colleagues will give in. And so folks don't realize that the only way to get over the cacophony of greedy billionaire and corporate-funded special interests is for them to get together and to exercise power by engaging their legislators and engaging and unelecting them when they listen to those voices instead of the voice of the people. That's the only way to save democracy and cleanse it. You need the process of democracy, the right to vote, fair districts, but then you need it to function. Otherwise, people won't invest in it by taking the time to vote and taking the time to know about candidates. And that all needs to get rebuilt. It's atrophied. It's been people have allowed it to be taken away from themselves. We've had so many great entertainment options that we've lost our eye on the ball on what's the most fundamental thing about this country, that is government responsive to citizens, to the people and their actual needs, not to any kind of elite, not to any kind of nobility.
You know, Dr. Craig, and at the root of it in the groundswell is in the small towns. It begins there, you know, at maybe wherever it is the meetings occur. But it almost appears an impossible task, but I guess it's equal to an ant that can band together and carry 100 times their weight to wherever it is they're going, because there's so many of them that's the way you have impact on changing things. It's got to be done that on that level.
It's amazing. A little goes a long way. The state representatives hear so little from people on a lot of major issues. You get 50 calls and teach a legislator from actual constituents, then you actually reverse the vote entirely.
Really? Yeah. 844-967-2789 is Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. When we get back, Dr. Craig, we're going to talk about Donald Trump. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, student loans and the fact that depending on what side of the equation you are on, you hear people say, well, people made those decisions, and so they should be made to pay for it. They signed their name on the dotted line. But Dr. Craig, something happened over the decades. You and I have been around a while, and there was a time when the student loans weren't private. The government basically would guarantee and be the grantor of those student loans. And then they allowed private industry to get in on it. And people have been really taken advantage of, not understanding. Well, you know, I guess ignorance is no excuse of the law, Dr. Craig, is what I've always been told. But there seems to be something that was not right about the way the loans happened, continue to happen. And do you think they've been forthright in everything when it comes to students borrowing and what the outcome of that would have been? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, yes. So let me, I actually have been involved directly in the deeper history of this.
Okay.
So, you know this, Earl. When we built the major public universities, there was a massive building spree of public universities.
For the baby boomers, right.
Yeah. A lot of states had it free or virtually free. That was the original vision, because it was just like K-12 education. It was seen as critical to the future of the country.
Right.
Okay. And that has been chipped away at. In the 1990s, I was privileged to be the only, there was a required student member on the Federal Advisory Committee that advises Congress and the president, the Secretary of Education, on higher ed policy and financial aid, and I was on it. And I can tell you, and this is, I want your listeners, I know we have listeners of all stripes all over the state on civic media, that part of what happened had to do with the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration was hot to take these kind of responsibility issues away from Republicans. And so they did start to move towards direct lending. We have direct government loans. Those are the bulk of them, actually. And so federally guaranteed, but we'd make them on very difficult terms to hold people responsible. And the theory was, if we did that, that then Republicans would support affordable education because they wouldn't demagogue it out anymore, which was a theory of politics that didn't work. They just like when they did welfare reform, they kept saying there was welfare programs there weren't, right? That people were in hammocks. There are no hammocks, right? And so and I was in these discussions and debates because I was from the left. I was representing students, and the U.S. Student Association was my allies. But and the Republicans were all for that. But at the same time, we weren't holding universities accountable for hyperinflation. The only area where there's been more as rapid an increase as healthcare in the cost of things is higher education. And so we were going to let that skyrocket to have massive tuition increases constantly. And then we were going to put it on students. So even in the 80s, when I went to college, it was still relatively affordable, not as good as the 60s. There'd been some diminution. But it was nothing like today, what my nephews have gone through and how much they have to pay. And so we put it all on them. We disinvested. We actually put it in things like massive prison building campaigns around the Crime Act which have not made us safer at all, right. Actually. It just cost a whole ton of money and abused and a lot of people's rights and damaged, destroyed their lives. And so here we are, and we got to take this into account. We're holding kids responsible for something that's impossible because we're telling them they have to go to school to get certainly a lot of the family-supporting jobs, not all of them, but a lot of them. But then they're not making enough to pay back the debt of going. We're creating this structural situation. This is why the younger generation is so throwing their hands up at the society they've been handed. We've put it all on them. We continue to fund other things for older people, right? Much more handsomely. And then we're going to blame them. President Biden's right. We have a debt crisis caused by our public policy, by hyperinflation, by unaccountable colleges and universities, including here in Wisconsin, and who are in an arms race on nicer amenities and on campus to attract different the students they want to attract. And so he is canceling out. He tried to cancel a lot more debt out. Everyone up to 10,000 in debt and 20,000 for kids who are lower income and even more in more marginalized. So we have a lot of people who never finished their college degrees and have six figures of debt and still can't make any money. And that's a situation that's harming the economy and is abusing those folks that tried to do the right thing. And so what he did here is he went after the announcement we made in Madison this week, Earl. He went after some of the most abusive loan terms that the federal government has allowed, ones where you're paying for years and your principal is growing, right? And where you're never going to be able to pay the amount and you're never going to be able to get a start, you know, start and raise a family and have those resources because of this massive debt on your around your neck. So I think it's necessary, but I think beyond what President Biden's doing, we need to have a real conversation about funding higher education and making it a right in this country again. That has gone off of the radar screen. I think most people would support, just like they would support a lot more funding for K-12 education than we're getting. They'd support that, but the universities have to be held accountable to make it affordable, not just to build more empires with it.
What are your thoughts, Dr. Craig? PJ says corporate America caused the problem by requiring college degrees for entry-level jobs.
There's a lot of that, and part of the thing we're working a lot in the green economy is part of the answer to the runaway climate change. There, you can structure it in a way that a lot of non-college jobs are like union building trades jobs, where their family's supporting. So we need more of those that don't require college degrees, but we do have the kind of society that's going to require legitimately. He's right. There have been some, and we've stopped doing this. We've stopped at CIS National Wisconsin, the organization I lead, listing a college degree for something that it actually wouldn't be required for. There was a lot of that, but there are some things where you do need a higher education, and we need that to be accessible to every kid in the United States, regardless of where they live, regardless of what they look like, and regardless of their income.
You know, Dr. Craig, all those years I spent in industry and all of those management jobs and that they had, and each one of them required a college degree. And in many instances, when the company finally made a decision that we're going to open these jobs up to people who didn't have degrees, they realized they really didn't have to have degrees because they were really on the job training. And so they were holding all of these jobs and making sure that people, only people with college degrees, received them. And when they finally realized, hey, you know, towards the end of our time at the company, they started putting unionized people in those positions.
Yeah, my college roommate, as an undergraduate at University of Pittsburgh, he runs the autonomous car division of a major tech firm. Well, you need a lot of college education to do that.
Oh,
right?
No question.
So those exist, but you're absolutely right. I have staff that doesn't have college degrees that is more capable than people with PhDs. I have a PhD and I know what PhDs are like. They're not all brilliant, quite frankly. And many of them are less competent than people without even with only a high school degree that work in our organization and do great work. So PJ is right that there's been unnecessary barriers put forward, but still in a knowledge economy, there are some things people want. You become a doctor, you need a college degree, right? And yeah. we need more diversity in medical practice. So the doctors look a lot and are culturally more similar to the people they need to help most, people with the most health issues and the health disparities in our country. So we need both, but you're right. We should not ever be requiring a college degree for things that don't require it. And we need to stop that. But we also need to start seeing, there was a movement. And President Biden tried to move in this direction. Joe Manchin stopped him. The Republicans were certainly all against it, at least guaranteeing the first 2 years of college as a right. So we say instead of up to 12th grade, up to 14th grade, right? We got to start moving in that direction, too.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, I looked this up the other day. There's like 140 universities that have endowments of over $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And when Lincoln was handing out, you know, millions of acres of land free to the land-grant colleges, and there's somewhere around 60 or 70 universities that jumped in and participated on that. So I was just thinking, if those universities are not adhering to their end of the bargain, meaning keeping education as close to free as possible, I think a simple solution would be just make them, you know, hand over some of those land grant acres that were given to them. All of them are still hoarding millions of acres. It's still an asset that's on the books. If they don't want to play by the original terms of the deal of keeping education as close to free as possible, then okay, then turn in your land grant assets. And, we'll sell that off, to another group who will buy into and will support the land grant philosophy of keeping education as close to free as possible. What do you think?
Thank you very much for the call, Mike. You want to respond to Dr. Craig?
I think the caller makes a great point. I would make it broader even. There's been a lot of abuse of nonprofit status. If you're 501c3 in this country, contributions to your tax deductible, which means it's coming from the taxpayers. In other words, the person giving it is getting a break on their taxes. And look at hospitals. Hospitals are mostly nonprofit. They don't operate in the public interest at all. They operate just like any other finance-driven, profit-seeking entity. Why the hell should they have nonprofit status? And the universities, many of them have been the same way. They're not all land-grant schools, but the caller makes a point about Lincoln and the land-grant colleges. Those are the most, those are generally the most elite public colleges, so folks know. But my goodness, Harvard has gotten massive tax advantages and essentially government subsidies through that tax break. And they have, I don't know, I think they're the largest. They're hundreds and hundreds of billions in what was the endowment for? If it wasn't for making college affordable, apparently there's no end to how much they can stash in these endowments. I will say something else that's interesting, Earl. People don't realize this. A college many people haven't heard of has one of the biggest endowments in the country. Maybe you've heard of it, Earl. Hillsdale College in Michigan.
Yeah, I've heard of Hillsdale.
It's the breeding ground for the right-wing infrastructure, and the right-wing billionaires have funded it, and the various evangelists who make tons of money off people, well-meaning people, they funded it massively. So just so you know, that's there as well. But in general, we have a problem with nonprofit status was supposed to be in return for doing a public service. We need to require that again in higher ed and healthcare and beyond that.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. You can text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action and you. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest always, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So Dr. Craig, Donald Trump, once again, Trump says Jewish voters who support Biden should be spoken to. Whatever that means. And he also basically said that, you know, Jewish and black people vote Democrat because of habit. He makes those kinds of statements, Dr. Craig, in the public light. And that would cause anyone else to be completely dismissed. And he can make those statements and still, you know, like a Teflon man, get away with it. Why?
Because they've managed to create a movement that is unserious about issues, public policy, basic ethics. Because it's fomented by hatred, and it is fomented by a kind of a team idea, right? Where there are two teams. This is my team, regardless of what I think of the leader. Like, if I don't like Brett Favre very much, or Aaron Rodgers, those are two great Hall of Fame quarterbacks, the Green Bay Packers, have been difficult to like at some points in their career, at least in I think my and a lot of other people's opinions. Don't know your view on that, Earl. But it's still the Packers. They still love right. the Packers. And that's a problem when you're talking about democracy. And so I'm really appealing to conflicted voters, right? And there are a lot of those. Voters who might ordinarily be Republican, but they're repulsed at some level by Donald Trump, to actually think about that this is enable behavior and set an example for young people and for our society that degrades everything you believe in as an earnest conservative or an earnest moderate independent person. And so we all know these folks who are not like this in their personal lives, don't raise their kids like this, are not this way in their business and career dealings at all. You really need to stop and think, because you're enabling this sort of behavior. And whatever you think of Joe Biden, and I will make a case that he's the first president to actually try to address the climate crisis, which is an existential threat. It really is, despite what the right-wing noise machine says, just for example. Despite the lies about him and the fake impeachment going on from the right-wing MAGA people and the noise machine, he's an ethical man who tries to do the right thing. You have every right to disagree with him, but that's a different thing, right? I mean, he is fundamentally attempts to be decent, is faithful to his religion as a Catholic. And even when he's wrong, I think he's been wrong on Gaza, he is earnestly trying to do the right thing. It is not corrupt. It is, and just listening to a Donald Trump speech, it just makes you scratch your head and say, what has happened? And what it shows is people are this bundle. We have, remember Abraham Lincoln in his first inaugural used the term, the better angels of our nature?
Yes, sir.
We have better angels and lesser angels, all of us. And we have some people on one side leaning into their darker angels. And I think they need to stop and they need to take a step back. As many of them as are open and willing, that are what Thomas Paine called a candid public, the people who are earnest and interested, and say, can you do this? You should not do this, because really he is not only a threat to everything, every value we stand for, he's a threat to the most fundamental thing that's American, that is a democracy. He's been very clear. There are no dictatorships for one day. He's promised for one day. Dictatorships that start that begin for one day continue in perpetuity. Putin was only going to serve 5 years, if memory calls. Right.
You know, Dr. Craig, those statements that are hurtful statements, and I don't know if he recognizes. I don't even think he recognizes that they're hurtful statements. Or do you think he does?
He's not capable of that feeling, I don't think. He is so into himself. Everything is about him. He's a megalomaniac, right? I'm not giving a diagnosis. I'm giving a common parlance, description.
Right.
I'll leave it to anyone who wants to, actually get him on a couch to give the official diagnosis. But there is something wrong there. There's something that is not like people that we regard in our personal and our business lives.
It's just, he's unflappable. And the only way that any of that is going to change is, and I don't think that it's too late for him to change, isn't it?
I don't think he's going to change. The question is, it's not even a majority of the country. No one thinks he'd go win the popular vote. We've gotten used to a gerrymandered presidential vote, right? The question is, can he win a couple battleground states and shift the electoral college? So it's absurd. It's not a Democratic result. Most people are not with him. He would lose any election that was a national popular vote, but he's capable of winning this election. So we need more people, as they did in 2020. Just enough. It was too close. Just enough woke up, and they woke up in shocking places like Georgia, like Arizona. People were surprised by that. They may wake up in North Carolina this year. That scene is in play.
Dr. Craig, it's always great having you on. Time seems to fly by. We'll see you again next Wednesday, Dr. Craig. Up next, Jane Mattinier, Mattinier on Air, and Greg Bott. See you tomorrow.